Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're interviewing someone.
Oh. And we're Shannon and Scott interviewing someone. Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Me too.
This is going to be our first guestbert on the show.
Yes. And his name is Kevin Grady, and he has very generously agreed to let us mimic his style and play it back for him and hopefully not horrify him with
it. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yes.
So the way that the guestbert situation is going to work, we are going to have Kevin explain to us what his style of music is. We're going to play an example of his music and talk about the creation of his sound.
And that will be the genre.
That'll
for
be
the
genre. And then we're still going to use a random topic from Wikipedia that will surprise us and Kevin and hopefully gel with whatever his topics and lyrical content are for his songs.
Yeah, cross your fingers. Pray for us, guys. Pray for us. So let's meet Kevin.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey.
So we have our first ever guestbert. Is that what we're calling them?
Guestbert.
Guestberts on Song Salad today. His name is Kevin Grady.
And he is the Global Executive Creative Director of Design based in New York City for the branding firm Siegel & Gale. And he is also the man behind Black Plastic, which is a dark electronic band, or I don't know if you call it a band.
Yeah,
I don't know. Kevin, how do you categorize yourself?
I'm not even sure. It's a good question.
Because you work with a producer.
I think it's
too.
Like an entity. Yeah, I work with a producer and he's got his own thing going. So he sees it as my thing, but frankly, there's no way it would have happened without him. Because he's the one who's actually a musician. So,
Can you tell us about the beginning of your collaboration?
Yeah, it's a collaboration, and then we have a live band. So I guess it depends on what context we're being discussed. I don't know if it's a person, you know, like I keep getting emails to Black, you know, it's like Black.
So, that's kind of cool. Alter ego.
Yeah. Well, I figure there's other Black Plastics out there because, of course, any name that you can think of in any category of anything has already been taken, no matter how ridiculous, pretty much. And so I figure, you know, if worse comes to worse, I can always just change my name legally to Black Plastic and then they can't do anything.
And then you can sue everybody else.
That's right. Yeah.
So have you been making music for a long time on your own?
Well, I've been alive for a really long time. So, the kind of the funny and weird part about all this is that the last time I was making music was literally in the 80s. And so the last time I played live was probably like in the late 80s, 88 or something like that. And so basically there was a point in my life where I had actually gone to school for journalism. I didn't know what design was. I moved to London, was in a band, found out what design was and kind of really fell in love with it. And then decided, well, I'm either going to pursue music or design, or I'm going to do this journalism thing, which was losing luster really quickly. And so, I decided to do design, and that's what I've been doing for all these years and really loving it. Did a magazine called Lemon, which is kind of a pop culture, music design, kind of pop art inspired publication, that is probably what I'm best known for creatively. But I've always been a huge, huge, huge music fan. And at a certain point a few years ago, I just felt like, you know, I buy way more music than people half my age typically, you know, and I kind of thought I got to, you know, I want to actually make an album, and I'd always wanted to in the past. And, so being a designer, I designed the cover right away.
get the important thing done first.
Right. And I actually kind of did everything backwards. It's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. I came up with all the names. I decided that the aesthetic would just be black and white for anything associated with it, and that song names could only be one word.
Wow.
And then I started just writing little pieces of stuff. I wouldn't even call it writing. I'm messing around in GarageBand basically. And then I'd get nuggets that I thought, well, that's really cool. I really, really like that. And what I did is it's so hard to do things extracurricularly, as you guys probably know, find the time and everything. So, but I talked about it a lot to a point where it'd be totally ridiculous if I didn't actually follow through. Like, I'd be embarrassed.
That's the best way.
Force yourself into the creative process.
Yeah. <laughs> Right.
So this went on literally for a couple of years, I think, at least a couple of years, where there's these little pieces and I'm thinking like I'm a rock star because of that. Yeah, I did this 30-second thing on GarageBand. It's been really silly. But eventually, at a certain point, I was going to see one of the guys who's, you know, Peter Hook from New Order and Joy Division, who's left that band and he's kind of going on his own and playing their old hits. Mm-hmm. He's even older than me. And I missed the opening act, and the opening act was this guy called Andre Oben, who is a local Boston kind of producer, musician, synth, and kind of, you know, just really, really impressive guy. But I just bought the CD that was on sale there just because I was curious about who was going to be opening, who was local for one of these, you know, more of these legendary musicians that I love, you know? So I brought it home and I thought, God, this is really amazing. I love this music. And I said to my then girlfriend, now wife, I said, you know, I'm going to approach this guy. I want him to produce this album. And he's local and maybe he'll do a trade and maybe I can do his design for his stuff, you know? And so that's what I did. And the first time I met him, I'm sure, you know, it was at one of his shows and I'm sure he thought I was a weirdo, you know, who's this guy stalking me with, you know, but I sent him my magazine Lemon and, you know, we had a David Bowie issue we did that was really cool that David Bowie contributed to and Daft Punk and other people. And so I think he probably maybe then considered the idea that maybe I'm serious from there. And so that's what we did. We started this partnership where, I figured if I can do one song, then I can do 10. I wanted to do 10. And so I kind of spent a lot of time kind of overproducing this one piece of music that, you know, way too many things going on. And I got together with him and he was kind of going, okay. And he went away and he produced the first track. He took the best pieces and it was really, really helpful for me because the whole rest of the album, he didn't need to do quite that much surgery. It was kind of like, oh, I understand what's going on here. You know, just try to get it down to the basic elements. And that's how it started. And so once, you know, it was really painful. There were times like, because I don't consider myself a musician, that I thought like, this is awful. What the hell am I doing? This is just ridiculous. But we stuck with it. And over the course of the year, we'd meet every Thursday night. And then we did the album.
Wow. That's great. So let's, for our listeners, what genre do you categorize yourself in?
Well, it's a hard thing. I think that for the sake of labeling, I guess what I'm hearing is that it's dark wave.
Dark wave. Okay,
cool.
Yeah. And, but it's funny because writing it, what I've had in my head is I have a real love for, obviously a lot of the great bands from the 80s that were so formative to me, you know? And so it's kind of this post-punk ethic from Joy Division to the Smiths and all those kinds of people. But then over the years, I really got into house music and techno and a lot of stuff like that. And my wife actually is very, very, very much into that. She's younger than me and grew up in the 90s in California and was totally into that whole scene. So we have this, what we call kind of our crossover music, you know, there's stuff that
right.
She's not interested in listening to Sonic Youth. And, I'm not really interested in listening to Carl Craig that much, but it's like, in between there's people like Presets and kind of, Cut Copy and these bands that kind of have a dance orientation with kind of a, I would say kind of a 80s inspired aesthetic, you know? And, cool. So when I was making this stuff in my mind, I just saw it as like dark dance music. But she would say, it's not dance music. Dance is like what they do in Europe with kind of the pop, with the, you know, yeah. And but to me, it's dance music, you know, it's like, I consider New Order dance music and so once the thing was done, it became apparent to me that, it was going to be labeled that there'd be a kind of a goth aspect, even though that wasn't intended. I'm just a dark person. And then, you know, it's probably too songy for people that are really into, you know, club music, and it's probably, too dancey for people that are into, you know, rockier forms of alternative music, you know? So it'd be interesting to see where it lands. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested in the, on your website, you mentioned that it's, one of the genres you're influenced by is DIY synth pop. Can you talk about the DIY aspect of that?
Yeah. I think really, when I was in a band back in the day, I remember I was in high school and I bought a bass and I, and within a few months I was in a band and we were playing, you know, cause it's playing really simple stuff. And, I think I'm pretty ADHD cause I almost just forgot what I was going to say there. As you can see, it's like proof of point, but
I bought a bass, the end.
But basically my attention span isn't that I'm going to sit there and learn how to do it really properly and be a proper musician, nor am I very attracted to extremely proficient music typically. So I got attracted to that element of punk. I'm not really into punk, but I love what the Sex Pistols did and what people have done where they just said, you know, I'm doing this, you know? And then through to people like David Bowie, who didn't consider themselves musicians because they weren't that good technically, you know? And so DIY synth pop was a lot of the stuff I think that was coming out of, for instance, Sheffield in the late 70s and early 80s, that where people who were inspired by the energy of the Sex Pistols, but decided, you know, I can't play guitar, I'm going to get a synth. And, you know, and I can play three notes on a synth, and that's what they did, you know? And so there was all these people like Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and, you know, people like Depeche Mode starting up. So I am inspired by that. I consider myself a designer. I consider this like an art directed album in a way. It's a very similar energy as any other creative endeavor. And so, the DIY synth pop thing really is the fact that it is very synth based, and it's very much, I couldn't tell you what the hell I'm doing musically from any technical standpoint, you know? So that's what that reference is.
Well, it sounds like, the way you talk about it makes me think of it like a curatorial process more than a composition process. I don't know if that connects with you at all.
Yeah, I think it does. I'm very conscious of trying to have a certain aesthetic, you know, and it really is like design. It's kind of like, well, what am I trying to communicate here? What am I? And this sounds overly serious. It's not like I'm really, really interested in communicating my art. It's more, but what I mean is, you know, what sounds am I trying to make? What am I trying to make it feel like? And it's the same thing as if you're designing something, you know, it's like, is it happy? Is it sad? And so that's kind of the process I took to it. It's very, very, very similar to that.
And so are there any lyrical or topical themes that you feel like you do address or you do communicate or you try to?
Yeah. On the website, it talks about that this is unmusic, you know, it is dark, but to me, dark music, most of the stuff that a lot of people would think is dark. And I'm not talking about like death metal stuff and stuff like that. I'm talking about, you know, to me, the Smiths have never been dark, you know, it's like, it's happy because it's misery loves company, you know? So it's like, I think that's true of a lot of, you know, to me, dark music some of the stuff that's out on that here on the radio now makes me go to a really dark place. You know, Adele music is really sad and depressing to me, you know, But you know, certainly the Smiths aren't, or Joy Division aren't. Thematically, so I kind of saw that, you know, in terms of themes, there'd be things that might be happening in the news, from terrorism to, you know, living when I was living in Boston at the time, living near the fire station where the sirens are going 24 hours a day, which is just an unsettling sound. I mean, you know, something's not going right when you hear that sound. And I wonder what, like, psychologically, when you're hearing that all the time, what is it, you know, what does that do to your psyche, you know? So that's one of the songs, Forensic, is about that, you know, and the lyrics are, you know, your city is forensic, and it just kind of repeats that. And then I sampled siren sounds and brought them in and kind of, you know, treated them in a certain way. And so it's really cool. Just this texture and the repetition of it, kind of mimics the repetition of that experience. So the lyrics are all very personal, and they are dark, but not dark to be goth, dark to be kind of, you know, it's like therapy, you know. In fact, one of the songs is called Sertraline, which is an antidepressant, because I meant that it really is like an antidepressant to work on this stuff.
And do you record all the lyrics yourself, or do you work with other artists?
No, I recorded them myself. On this album, I literally, since I was living in an apartment, I recorded them in my car.
Oh my gosh.
It was, you know, it was kind of a good place because it was, you know, it buffered the sound and it was self-contained and I was down in the garage so you couldn't hear anything else. So, so literally 90% of the album was done there or else in my closet.
I mean, talk about DIY.
Yeah, DIY, totally. Yeah.
And so what I would do is I would write all the pieces literally on GarageBand and then I would take the WAV files and I would bring them to the producer and he'd bring them into Ableton and then in the end when we were finished with everything, we actually had it mastered and run through a board again. So it's definitely on the low end of pro in terms of sound quality, but I think we got there, you know,
through those
series of steps, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I think the album sounds wonderful. And we were wondering if you could pick a song, which song do you think really exemplifies either the genre or your aesthetic, because that's the song that we'll play for our listeners so that they can get a taste of what Black Plastic is about.
Yeah, the song Deutsch probably is the most indicative.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one where there's also a video. David Strindberg is this really great Swedish director, and so he directed this thing. We kind of went back and forth with what the theme was and everything, and then I can safely say it's pretty much the only video with monkeys and underpants in it. it's ever been made for something in this genre or any other. So it's kind of a Ian Curtis from Joy Division meets a Calvin Klein underwear ad type of thing with monkeys.
So here's a snippet from Deutsch by Black Plastic, a.k.a. Kevin Grady. Awesome.
So well, where can people find the video?
Basically postpunk.com released it, like premiered it this past week. It's on my site, which is blackplasticmusic.com. It's on Vimeo. You can find it. It's kind of been making the rounds this week. So, but probably the best place is just to go to my site, easiest place. So you don't find out any of those other Black Plastics by accident.
Amazing. Great. And Black Plastic just released on Friday, right? On Friday the 15th.
It did, yeah. You know, it's Congrats. The tax day, the day the Titanic sank. I think Lincoln was shot or something.
Another milestone.
So,
perfect.
Like a great time, you know? Yeah, the digital came out. Where I'm actually doing kind of, because I still love the physical object, where we are doing a CD release. That's coming out on the 25th, and then I'm hoping in a few months we'll be doing vinyl. Basically, it's on Cleopatra Records in LA. They signed to Black Plastic last year, so that's I feel pretty happy to kind of be doing something in my closet, and then having any label be interested, let alone one that's been around for a while. So it's sure. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So people can go to iTunes and search for Black Plastic. They can also go to Spotify. Anywhere else?
Yeah, Amazon. There's a whole list of places. Yeah, so right now digitally they can find it pretty much anywhere. I don't, you know, I like Tidal too, and I don't think it's on Tidal, but everywhere else I've seen, it's on, it's up. And although there is one little interesting thing, because there is some other act called Black Plastic that's done some very kind of very very different music, should I say? And iTunes is kind of putting it in, under my cover, you know. Oh. So I think some people are going to get a real surprise.
Yeah. Well, now comes the time in the show where we need to try to recreate what you're doing.
Yes.
All right. So my main question for you musically, can you tell me just like maybe three or four of the main elements that have to be included in the music for it to be considered dark wave or you know, the DIY kind of sound that you're making?
I think that from an aesthetic standpoint, it should sound like it is like basically club music for vampires, you know, right. If you put that in your head to get yourself psyched. That's what it should sound. It's not a rock club. It's a dance club for vampires. And these aren't, you know, they're people too, you know, they need love and everything too. But anyway, beyond that, I would say that, you know, simple, very simple structure, from a rhythm standpoint in terms of drums and bass, repetitive to a certain point, but not as repetitive as, some, you know, more instrumental dance music is. Mm-hmm. And then a kind of a focus on lyrics that again are maybe not the happiest.
Okay.
Happiest lyric you've ever heard. And beyond that, it's pretty open. I think that, another aspect to throw in there is that, guitars are kind of in at least in the genre that I'm in, you know, it's like, they're not necessary. It's kind of more of a focus on you know, synthesized sound.
What about samples? Do you use samples often? You were talking about the sirens.
Yeah, I do. I do use samples, and then try to treat them or deconstruct them to a point where they're not really obvious. The people who made them probably wouldn't even notice. But usually, yeah, that sampling is something I love.
Cool. I'm definitely going to try to throw that in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whatever sample we get might be related to whatever topic we're randomly given from Wikipedia. Yeah. So we're going to see how sad we can make it.
Yeah.
Well, the key to it is that it's sad, but the dance beat means that it's not, you know, you don't slit your wrist. It means that, like, there's the beat, maybe if you're not listening to the lyrics, you just think it's happy, you know?
Right.
Should we pick the topic with Kevin on the line?
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Or should we surprise him later?
I don't know. Would you prefer to be surprised or do you want to get the topic now?
Why don't you find the topic? Because then I think that'd be kind of fun.
Okay.
All right. So we're on Wikipedia. We're about to hit the random article button.
All right.
We'll see what we get.
All right.
All right.
Oh, Proserpine?
Proserpine?
Proserpine.
All right.
Oh, this is interesting.
Wow.
Proserpine is a
French... Is that like multiple peen?
So many peen.
Proserpine is a French language opera by the Italian composer Giovanni Paisiello.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
It's a tragedy lyrique.
It's a tragedy.
Perfect.
Jeez. Oh my God. Synchronicity.
Oh my gosh. Paisiello was the favorite composer of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Hey.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
This is going to be cool.
I have a feeling I'm going to be sampling whatever you guys come up with in the next album, pretty much, you know?
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Wow, talk about meta, right?
I know.
So, you know, I'm thinking, obviously, we're going to find a recording of this opera and sample it, and then we'll put it in our song, and then you'll sample our song, which has the sample of the opera.
And then a black hole will open up, and we'll all fall into it.
And I think the rights will be good, because everybody's dead, pretty much, right?
Oh, this is definitely public domain.
Yeah, long gone, so... Perfect.
Really cool.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thanks. Thank you. So, we'll just ping you whenever we're ready, and we'll give you a call back.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Cool. So much, thanks, Kevin.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Wow. Here we go.
We have like accountability now to like a person.
Luckily, it sounds like Kevin is excited to hear what we come up with, and he's not just like try to make my music.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
Yeah, because Kevin's not John Wayne.
Circle the synthesizers round the water hole.
Oh, my God. So do you want to hear some things about Proserpine?
Yes.
Okay. So like we mentioned with Kevin, Proserpine is a French language opera. The composer is Giovanni Paisiello.
Paisiello. He's Italian. The opera's in French.
Yes. And it's because he was the favorite composer of Napoleon, and he was convinced to move to Paris to be sort of Napoleon's composer in residence in order to sort of shore up the Franco-Napolitan diplomatic relations. So King Ferdinand was like, no, Napoleon wants you to go. You should go. Which is kind of interesting.
It's also interesting because he was old at this time.
He was
in his 70s.
Which was like a million in
right.
those time years.
So King Ferdinand was like, hey, Mr. Elderly Composer,
hey, Grandpa,
go over to France and entertain Napoleon for me, just yeah. so there's goodwill between France and Italy.
Yeah. He actually didn't stay there for very long. He came back, I think, 4 or 5 years later. So Proserpine is a reworking of a previous libretto, also called Proserpine, that was done by Jean-Baptiste Lully. And Lully was kind of the figurehead for the tragédie lyrique, or French lyric tragedy, which is a genre of opera. And that was a very specific structure of opera that often centered around classical mythology or romantic epics. Mm-hmm. And it was a five-act structure. There would be an aria, a major aria at the beginning of the act, and then some recitative sections, which means in opera parlance, that's sort of like sung dialogue, back and forth dialogue.
Yep.
And then there would be what they called petite air, which is like little arias. And then at the end, a divertissement, which is like a big chorus opportunity in ballet. So it was
Can you guys tell that Shannon spent some time in France? If I were trying to say these words, it would be like a divertissement.
A divertissement. Divertissement. So it was this really established structure. It was very popular. And actually, these stories don't necessarily have to have a tragic ending. And in fact, they talk about that generally they don't have a tragic ending, but the atmosphere must be noble and elevated, which I think actually goes along with what Kevin was saying very well. Even though that things are dark and maybe sad, it doesn't have to feel
right.
dark and sad. And it doesn't. So it's just the art is activated by the tragedy, but it's not necessarily tragic.
Yeah. And as far as the actual content of the opera and the plot, you might know it better as
yes.
the story of Persephone rather
yes.
than
so,
Proserpine.
Proserpine in French, or Proserpina in, I guess, Latin, is the Latinization of the Greek goddess Persephone. And the general story of Persephone is that she was captured by Hades, or in this case, she was captured by, what's his bucket?
Well, Pluto in the same...
Pluto. Right, of course.
Or Hades? Is that what we said?
Hades is Greek. Pluto is
yes.
Latin.
Yes.
Roman.
Roman.
So
in Proserpine, it's Pluto.
It's Pluto.
But
captures
in
her.
With Persephone, it's Hades.
Yes.
Great.
She was the daughter of Ceres, which is the Roman equivalent of Demeter. Pluto took a liking to her and captured her and took her to the underworld to be his bride. Her mother, Ceres, struck a bargain with Pluto that she could come up to the surface 6 months out of every year, which is why we have seasons. So whenever...
It's also what the song 6 months out of every year from Damn Yankees is about. I'm just kidding. It's not. It's about baseball. Continue. Can you imagine? 6 months out of every year, Persephone gets to come up to the real world. Continue.
Thank you. Anyway, what was I saying? So basically, she's like the goddess of a spring, basically. So when she returns to Ceres is when spring happens. And then she has to go back down into the underworld, which is what causes winter to happen because Demeter is sad, or Ceres is sad.
Right. I did find an excerpt from the opera Proserpine by Giovanni Paisiello, and it's just a very short little excerpt from a soprano aria, and I believe it is the character of Proserpine singing, and I'm going to just use this one short little clip, and I'm going to treat it like a sample in one of Kevin's songs. So when we talk about sampling and treating samples in music, that's taking an existing piece of audio that's recognizable, like he was saying, a siren sound, mm-hmm. or like a clip from an opera or, you know, another piece of music, and really messing with it in ways that make it sound almost unrecognizable. And the ways that are commonly used to mess with the audio is you could slow it way down, you could speed it way up, you could reverse it. And you could also add effects onto it, like a lot of reverb, which would make it be echoey, or you could chop it up so that there's little breaks in the audio. So I think the clip that I have is this. And I think it'd be interesting to slow it way down. It has those like minor tonalities to it. And I think if we use minor key synthesizers as a background that match the same key as this clip and have this clip slowed way down over top of it, it'll give it kind of an eerie, dark effect. So yeah. That's my plan.
I wish I could understand the lyrics because I could probably do a rough translation of them, but I don't know that we could
find... Do you think the libretto's online?
The libretto might be online, but how would we line it up with the clip that you found?
Oh, I don't know. Well, it's in French. You want to listen to it and see if you can understand?
I mean, I tried, like it, but it's like someone singing like, so like, it just sounds like dolphin speak to me.
Well, I think you should write your lyrics based on what you feel.
Yeah, no. I definitely
make it
will,
personal.
But it would just be interesting to find out if it's like, oh, I like fell down and scraped my knee, or if it's like, I miss my mother, like pining for the upper.
Very different earth. Stakes in this.
Yeah, well,
two.
That's what I mean. Like, it would just be funny to understand, like, which one it is. But in any case, so I think I'm going to start writing. Probably, understandably, I will use the conflict between Persephone and. I keep using the Greek words, but whatever.
Let's say Proserpine and
Proserpine,
Pluto.
Proserpina and Pluto and Ceres. As the basis of like the sadness or the tragedy that we're expressing, but not necessarily maybe literally talking about that conflict.
Sure. And I'm going to find some cool synthesizers.
Cool.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
It's Scott from Song Salad.
Hey.
How are you?
Obviously.
I had a feeling. So how'd it go?
So we wrote a song.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm going to let you tell us how it went.
Yeah.
It was really fun, yeah. I think the topic that we got, the opera, turned out to be really useful in creating the song in this style.
So, the lyrics that I came up with, mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't only talking about Proserpina. In the story of Proserpina, because I wanted it to be a little bit more about like the opera and the composer.
Yeah.
So I'll read the lyrics and I'll tell you how I think that happened.
Great.
Okay. Lyrics are, gone, gone, the world weeps, baby. Gone, the earth sleeps, baby. Waiting, 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 waiting for the spring. Waiting, waiting, liberating everything. Your king commands, and you obey. Your king commands, and you obey.
I get it.
Do you get it?
Double meaning.
Yeah.
It's about Proserpina and Giovanni.
Yep. So
you That's could... also going to be the melody of our... No, I'm kidding.
It's about Proserpina and Giovanni.
Yeah, it's going to sound like a training montage for Proserpina. Going down to the underworld.
And she's just like lifting weights.
Yes.
And like chugging raw eggs. Yeah. I mean, you're right. So the end to stanzas, your king commands and you obey. You could take that to mean Proserpina, who would have been ruled by Pluto. Or you could take it to be Giovanni, who was ordered to go to Napoleon's court.
Yeah.
By King Ferdinand.
I love it.
So repetitive, mm-hmm. It rhymes, which I feel like is in line with, the lyrics on Black Plastic,
mm-hmm.
Kind of comes from a dark place, but does still give a little bit of hope, like waiting for the spring when this will all be resolved.
Wow. That's amazing.
Those are our lyrics.
Yeah. I love it.
In your email, we sent you three MP3s. There's one called Regular Sample.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little excerpt of the opera that I chose to use as the sample. So why don't you listen to that first?
Okay. Wow.
So I took the original sample, which is that little excerpt from the opera, and I slowed it down to about 3 times the original length, of the sample, and I did a pitch shifter on it, which meant that I added the same sound over top of the existing sample a minor third higher so that you hear everything that's being played in a minor third relation. And then I added what's called a bit crusher to it too.
Ooh, that sounds kind exciting.
Sort of chops up and distorts the sound a little bit. So this is the original opera sample slowed down with a pitch corrector or a pitch shifter and a bit crusher added to it. And this is going to be the basis of our song. And then I'm going to add in the synthesizers and bass and drums on top of it.
That sounds pretty amazing.
Isn't that cool?
So the cool thing is that it's... Oh, go ahead.
Sounds like whales.
Yeah, it does.
It actually does, yeah. I wasn't expecting... I should have guessed this, but the vibrato slowed down on the singer is nuts.
Yeah, that's really weird. It sounds really... I don't think I've ever heard anything quite like that.
Yeah.
So that was the basis for the song, and then I layered on some synths, synth bass and drum beats and stuff like that, and then... processed my vocals singing Shannon's lyrics over top of it all. So that's the full song, which is called Gone, if you want to give it a listen, then give us your thoughts.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, ready?
Excellent.
Yep.
I love it. You guys need to cheer up, though.
So you think it's awesome. A little too sad?
Oh, I think it's great. Wow. It's really cool sounds and everything. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Like, wow.
Is it weird to hear your style sort of parroted back at you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, why did it take me a year, you know?
No, our stuff definitely sounds much more thrown together than yours.
Yes,
it's really cool. I thought it was, I really enjoyed it. Wow. And really, the sounds just that kind of really, yeah, the sample slowed down is just really unique sounding. And then when the beat and everything comes in, it's really strong. I loved it. I think vampires would go to that, right?
Yeah, I think vampires would dance to that for sure.
Totally would.
I think having the longer sample was helpful for me in making the song more quickly too, because it gave me a background texture that was continuous,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I, you know, for the sake of time, used a lot of like pre-existing drum loops and logic and layered that kind of stuff on top of itself. So, you know, I should say that I'm sure what you do and what most like real producers of this kind of genre do is like create their own samples and stuff from scratch, but mine was a very like truncated process.
Yeah. I like samples from wherever they come. I think it's like pop art, you know. It's like you take pieces of things and give them a new life, you know. Just as long as it doesn't go all the way to that full-blown ripoff where you're rapping over the police singing something. Yeah.
But. Exactly. We won't name names.
Yeah, yeah. No, no names. No names. That's really cool, guys. Wow. Hmm.
Thank you for letting us do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was so awesome.
Absolutely. It was really fun. It was really, really fun. So yeah, we're getting ready for our very first show. It's going to be in Boston a week from Monday at Great Scott. So it's we're still trying to get the live thing together. It's going to be for performing. It's going to be myself, Andre Oben. He's going to be on synths. I'll be singing. And then Frank Lawler from Chicago. He's a really great drummer. He's going to come out. So we'll be playing with him just the day before and getting the set together. And wow. then going from there. But he's been sending us video clips of the drums he's been programming. So it looks like it'll come together. But you know, nothing like doing it the day before to get ready.
Fantastic. And what's the date of that concert?
That's April 25th.
April 25th, yeah. In Boston at Great, yes. Scott.
Yeah, we'll be awesome. Playing with some really good bands. The Vows, who are also on Cleopatra. They're from Australia. And Nightclub, and then Casey Desmond, who's a Boston fixture, and she actually was on The Voice and competed on that. And now she has a really, really pretty cool, interesting kind of, I'd say it's almost like hippie electronica type of thing. And she can she can actually sing, so at least one of us that night will actually have a real voice. So that's always helpful, so.
Great. So check out Black Plastic on iTunes, on Amazon, on Spotify, and stay tuned for the CD and the vinyl version of Black Plastic. And Kevin Grady, thank you so much for being our first guestpert.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks. Right,
thanks, Kevin.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So I think our first guestpert experience was a success.
I think so. Yeah, I feel like we created a pretty lush song for the given time period.
I agree. I think it was a success in that he didn't get offended.
Yes. And also, I was really happy to get the topic that we got, which I felt lined up pretty nicely with the lyrical themes that Kevin was talking about too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Very exciting. If you are an expert in something and you want to be a guestpert,
we would love to talk to you.
Let us know.
Tweet at us at Song Salad Cast.
And go find Black Plastic.
Yeah. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah. Really cool.
Thanks for listening.
And until next week, I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Shannon and Scott.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm.